Do you ever feel like you're always on? Your phone is blowing up with notifications, you have commitments to friends and family, and not to mention work. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing beer that even tells you it's cold when the mountains on the bottles and cans turn blue. When I need to hit reset, I grab a Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/BlueWire. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, Marlins fans, and welcome to a brand new episode of Swings and Mishes. Before I get into all the action with Craig, stick with me for just a minute here as I tell you about our new sponsor, TicketRev. I think you're really going to like them. TicketRev is the first ever reverse marketplace for event tickets. So what that means is this. Buyers go on to TicketRev.com and create bids on events by simply choosing their preferred seating location and naming their offer price. Sellers are then able to see those bids and accept a bid matching the ticket's location and sell instantly. No more having to list on StubHub, Facebook, or wherever else for tickets to games or concerts. So there's advantages for both parties here. If you're the seller, you get not only a better commission than the rest of those sites, but you can sell your tickets instantly. You never have to list them on sale again. And if you're the buyer, you now have increased flexibility. You can choose your seat and you can name your price. It's better ticket deals, and buyers finally can help determine their own pricing. Plus, we have a deal for you right now. A promo code on TicketRev.com. And that promo code, as always, is SWINGS. So all you need to do is go to TicketRev.com. That's TicketRev.com. And use the promo code SWINGS for $20 off your first bid. That's $20 off your next tickets to a Marlins game. Guys, that pays for parking itself. Just go to TicketRev.com and use our promo code SWINGS. And we'll see you out there at Lone Depot Park. Now, let's get to the podcast. Hello, Swings and Mishes fans, and welcome to the final regular season episode of Swings and Mishes for this season. I'm your co-host and producer, Jeremy Taché, joined by the man who's been on every one of these podcasts. Well, I guess except for when Daniel Alvarez was here for one, and that's Craig Mish. Craig, how are you doing on this final Friday of the regular season?
The month of October is here. Very excited for the postseason. Baseball. Yeah, I mean, I'm loving what's ahead of us here. I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. We got these wild card races, the American League going down to the end. The Cardinals got in. The Braves have clinched. Everyone's going to probably root against the Astros. You know, we got nobody likes Tony La Russa. There's a lot of really good storylines. I mean, are you kidding me? We got Kershaw facing off against Wainwright in a wild card game next week. This is going to be awesome. And Seattle, right? the Mariners are in this thing, like down to the end. Like, what business do they have, being in this? I thought that they were still rebuilding. I guess not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think, one of the better postseasons coming up. You have a lot of intrigue. I'm kind of, in a way, sort of hoping Toronto gets in, because I think that they're a fun team, too. I don't know how far they'll get, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this. I can't wait to start seeing this next week, especially that wild card game in particular with LA. I believe it's right. It's LA St. Louis. That's done.
Oh my God.
That's gonna be some experience to watch that with two guys who could have pitched in a wild card game 10 years ago.
Right. Exactly.
And they're gonna pitch in this. So yeah. Marlins wise, we're coming to the end, but baseball wise, we're far from the end. So I'm excited.
Right. It's as excited as I've been for an MLB postseason in a long time. Like, there are just storylines abound, like you just mentioned. I mean, they're everywhere. Obviously, though, on our end, we're here to talk Miami Marlins, and that season is coming to a close. There will just be a couple of games here in October. Craig, I'm just sort of looking for your overall feel of the organization as this season winds to a close.
Yeah, look, I think that for anybody who is kind of paid attention to my comments here, or in the Herald or on social media. I think it's been very obvious how critical and how tough I have been on the organization the last couple of months. And it is, you know, and it kind of happened right after the trade deadline for me. I spent a lot less time going to the games and more focusing on the football season, which was coming up for my role at Sports Grid. And I've talked about that before, where if the Marlins are still in it, I mean, the people at Sports Grid absolutely understand what I do. And I think if the Marlins ever make a postseason run and willing, I'm still, you know, working for Sports Grid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be just as much into that as I am in football, but there was just no reason. Like, well, once July 31st came and it was like, okay, like, you know, that's it. I was like, all right, well, I guess that's it for me too. And so I think I only went to one or two games after the trade deadline, although I am going on Friday night because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously these are people that I cover. I do take responsibility for the things that I say, whether they are good or whether they are bad. And so I'm going to show my face there one more time. If anybody has anything positive or negative to say to me about things that I say, you know, Friday night's going to be the night for that. So just make that clear. So given that that is the case, I will say that I believe that once again, for the work that I have done this season, I feel like the organization has still treated me fairly. I think that they have understood the nature of the season. And so the comments, I have gotten very little flack over the course of the season, a little bit right at the trade deadline, but not much after that. You know, just kind of like understood, like, hey, like the team stinks, like what are you gonna say? Right. So that to me is a little bit refreshing. They've been all, you know, they, you know, the one thing somebody commented to me yesterday about, like, they're a bunch of liars and they're lying about things, like I think that is the opposite. Like this organization is very truthful and very honest. They're wrong a lot, and that's the problem. Is that, like, you know, the comments are wrong and the player evaluations have been wrong, but they are telling you what they believe. And so I think that there is an inherent difference in the two of those things. It's not like they're just coming out and lying like the previous regime did about a lot of different things. Like that's not happening. It's just their evaluations are wrong. And so when they say a player like Eason Diaz is turning the corner or something, like, they believe that. So I know some people would rather them lie. And if that's the case, then I think that you're dealing with the wrong people. That's why I like these people. That's why I'm rooting for these people, because they have been truthful. But the evaluations have been bad, and the development on the offensive side particularly has been really bad in 4 years. I mean, we are here heading into year five, and you cannot go into next season, and outside of Jazz potentially, say that they have developed a single player offensively that you know is going to be a star in 5 years. That's a long time. Like, that's a long time to not have that. And they have a lot of guys in the minors, and I do want to also add that in the Herald we had that column, Barry Jackson and I, and I, you know, just to be clear, and I fully support everything that Barry does, and so thankful for all the work the Herald gave me this season. But that was Barry's, you know, the source or the scout that was with Barry. And so I don't agree with a lot of the things that this, I thought it was very harsh on a lot of the players. And I personally feel differently about it. And from my people that I've spoken to about a lot of them, but some of that was truth. I mean, in my opinion, like, they really have not in 5 years given me a guy and said, hey, that's a star on the team next year. And, you know, he's hitting 30. And, you know, I mean, like, outside of Jazz, who looks like he is a starter, an everyday regular player, and, you know, has had some struggles defensively and struck out. But I mean, realistically speaking, you know, he's a starter on every big league team. I mean, he's a good player. But beyond that, you know, that's kind of where we're at, Jeremy, is that the lack of offensive development has put this organization in a position to have to deal from a position of strength, which appears to be starting pitching. That's, you know, clearly not a guarantee, but it appears to be that. And so my guess is one or two things are going to have to happen in the offseason. Either they're going to have to dig into the wallet and get some free agents, which clearly should not have been the plan. It should not have been. They should have developed offensive players to the point where they could have added pieces to the puzzle. Instead, they have to create a puzzle in the offseason. I don't believe that was their plan 4 years ago, but that's what they have to do. Or they have to trade from this position of strength and make some very uncomfortable, painful trades in the offseason where you're not going to be happy with the deals that are made. You're going to be very upset when they trade some of their star pitching prospects or even big league pitchers to add offense to the team. And so that's where we're at. It's been a really hard season for me, for sure. One of the toughest seasons I can ever remember covering or watching, just because I just didn't care for almost 2 months. It was really, really painful. But I will say that the organization, in terms of my relationship, has not changed. I respect them still very much. A lot of really good people that I believe in that are working there. But this is a results-driven business, Jeremy, and the results in 2021 were well below expectations for them. So anyone who says differently that this was not supposed to be a year that they were competing and this was just supposed to be another development year, you are completely and totally wrong. Because if that is the case and that is true, then I was lied to. Then I was not told the truth. And I believe they've always told me the truth and still continue to tell me the truth. And so unless I was just flat out lied to by a lot of people in the organization, it's a big, dismal end to a season where they thought they'd be a lot better. And fortunately, here we are. But fortunately, here we are, too, because it's over.
Yeah, well, and not to go plug another podcast, but I spoke to Trevor Rogers this week, and he said the same thing you're saying right now, which is, this is a disappointment. We were expected to compete for the division, and we did not do that, and we are disappointed, we are pissed, and that's throughout the organization. I'm sure it's not just the players. It's got to be from top to bottom that's the expectation, and even if you want to be kind on the hitting level and look at Sanchez or Diaz or anybody, these are guys that were also acquired. It's not like the Marlins really developed them through their system either. These were guys who were in other organizations and had to be traded for once they had reached a certain level of the minor leagues. So when we're talking about hitting development, Jazz is another one who they traded for, who was already at a certain point. So it does make you wonder about the guys that they develop all the way through the system. But as we do head toward 2022, and you mentioned there's trades, there's free agency, what do you see the direction being for this franchise as they head into the offseason? What do you anticipate?
Yeah, I think that some money will be spent. I do think that. I don't know exactly what. I don't know exactly how. I've talked about this previously. The track record, even on a smaller level of free agents in this organization in 4 years, has been extremely poor. They have not spent small and gotten back big results. It just has not happened. It happens with every team in Major League Baseball. Sometimes you throw a dart and it lands in the middle. And that is the key to building a really good organization. You take your shots. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. As a matter of fact, if out of 10 darts you throw in terms of that money, if only one or two hits, it's still terrible, but at least we would have that and we would be able to say that. And in general, they had just have not hit on any offensive players. Clearly, Anthony Bender has turned out to be a really good position piece, but they have not hit on any of the offensive pieces thus far. And it's a major problem. So it forces them again into the position of either A, spending money, and they were clearly willing to give Starling Marte $40 million or so. Okay. Right. So start there. You know, that's the benchmark. Okay. They're willing to do that. They appear willing to give Sandy Alcantara a long-term extension, which is going to be, I think, more friendly for the team than I think Sandy in the end probably could get more money, but
sure.
I'm getting the feeling that this is going to be more of a friendly type deal because the CBA is coming up. A decision has to be made. Sandy can set himself up for life now.
Right.
And that's very important. And I'm not saying this is like the Acuna friendly deal or the Albies friendly deal, but I do think that it'll be a very good deal for both sides. Sandy will be set for life. The Marlins will be comfortable with that. I mean, inevitably when that ends up happening.
Sure.
So I don't want to get people too excited because again, in these scenarios, I could be wrong. Remember, there were people who asked me if they were going to spend money the last couple of off seasons, and I said yes, I thought they would, and they really did not. They did not. They added some payroll with Duvall and Marte, and then they just punted it all. But their payroll is so low that you would think that $40, $50, $60 million would be added to the payroll. So I do think that if Nick Castellanos opts out, I think that that's who they're going to pursue. I don't know if they're going to get him. I don't know if they're going to sign him, but I do think in my heart, and from the intel that I've gotten, that I think that he is a target. I do think they're going to try. Castellanos is going to make, I believe, $20 million over the next couple of years. So he's going to be looking to add that on to whatever right. contract. So you can just immediately pencil in 2 years and $40 million. Then the question is, would Castellanos take 4 years and $80 million or so? And would the Marlins pay that? You know, like those are all things. But when Castellanos was here, and they came in town for the Reds, there were some discussions, from what I understand, and some statements made about the possibility of maybe Castellanos being potentially interested if he did opt out of being in South Florida and playing relatively close to his home. Remember, he was a West guy at Broward.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is not a Miami guy, a West Broward guy. So let's
West Broward guys. All right.
Let's not confuse the two here. Everyone, oh, he's coming home to Miami. Not really. He's
gotta drive still 40 minutes. It's like when they say that the Canes or the Dolphins play on South Beach. Like it's the same deal.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
American heritage, you know. Okay. So he's the Broward guy. He's not a Dave guy. It's like Lizardo. He's coming home. Sort of.
Right.
Home.
South Florida.
Well, you still have to drive a long way and in traffic, a really long way.
Yeah, we know.
I think there's a chance of that happening. And then, of course, I think that there still will be trades involved, but they're going to need a catcher of some kind. Is that still going to be the case? I don't know if it's going to be one of the high end guys or it's just somebody better than what they have, which is really easy to do to get anybody better than what they have because they have nothing. So they can do that. They can add a center fielder. They can add a left fielder. And I think that those will be among the pursuits. And we're also going to find out a lot more when arbitration comes up, because there's a critical point there with Jesus Aguilar. They're going to have to make a decision here in the next couple of months as to what they want to do there. So the deal with Aguilar is that he had, I believe it was, I don't think they've reported this or not. I'm not sure. It may have been a torn meniscus. I'm not sure exactly. And I don't want to give out the wrong information. This is just something that I heard. So when you have that kind of surgery, it's a 2 month deal. He should be fine, by the way, for the regular season.
Right.
But remember, they did not trade Aguilar when they could have on July 31st. So they simply can't non-tender him and that's it. Like that.
Right.
No way. That would be disastrous. I mean, that would basically be a huge screw up if they did that. So they're not going to do that. But they could trade him before the arbitration or they could just basically sign him and then keep him. You know, so one of those things will happen. The whole first base situation will get cleaned up a little bit. But long story short, Jeremy, I do think they're going to spend some money. I've been wrong before on that one, that's for sure. And I do think Nick Castellanos is going to be part of the discussion this offseason. I think so. And maybe right after we're done with this, I'll get a text saying you're off. And then I'll come back in a couple of weeks and say I was off. But that's a feeling that I get. So it's a good feeling. I'm a little optimistic on that.
Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. And I love it because Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources that were once reserved for big businesses. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I don't talk about it a ton, but I have a fishing company. 5 years ago this month, my best friend Aaron and I started a bass fishing weight company called Woo Tungsten, because woo is the sound you make when you catch a giant bass. So we sell tungsten weights for bass fishing, and Shopify has made it so incredibly easy. They have all the tools and the resources that we need. No matter how big or small your business is, they just make it so effortless. And like mine, Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale. And you can reach customers online and across social networks with their ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. And you can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond, which is something we use a ton. More than just a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/bluewire, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business today with Shopify. Go to shopify.com/BlueWire right now. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Shopify.com/BlueWire.
If you don't have players on the field with the right skills, whether it's breakaway speed or elite playmaking ability, you're going to have a tough time winning. The same goes for your business. Indeed is a fast, simple way to make sure you're hiring MVPs. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through April 30th. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applicants that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire to claim your $75 credit before April 30th. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I like that feeling. I'll tell you that. That's a fun feeling. And to have a bat like Nick Castellanos in the lineup would be a welcome change to what we've seen throughout most of 2022. Although, you know, there were their bright spots from the guys who are mostly no longer here at this point. You know, Craig, you have a good sense of how the organization feels on a lot of these things, right? So we've talked about the direction, we've talked about the frustration with the singular regular season, but how do you believe the organization feels as a whole right now, knowing where they stand and sort of where the fan base stands with them?
Yeah, they you know, again, are going to be optimistic because they, mm-hmm. you know, that's just an inherent thing that if you have a job, you want to feel like you're good at your job and you want to believe that things are headed in the right direction. And so maybe they still all feel that way. I don't know. Again, I don't send out a poll and say, click this for yes or click this for no, but and I talk to a lot of people. So in speaking to people, I get the sense that there is a tremendous amount of pressure next season. There is a tremendous amount of pressure to show a massive improvement. Whether or not anyone listening believes that will actually happen or not, your choice. But I've said this before, I would not rule out anything at all. And like you say, well, really this? I mean, you know, fill in the blank. Yes, fill it all in. Outside of the team being sold, don't feel like that's happened. I know some people have brought that up. That I don't think is in the equation. I think that the ownership group is firmly planted for a long time. I think that. I do not get the sense that if everything went wrong last year, that the team would be sold and start over again. I don't get that sense. I'll have to dig into that, but that's not something that I think. Beyond that, anything is possible. Like literally, you name it, fill it in. Could this happen? Could that happen? Could this person be gone? Could this person stay? Anything is possible under the sun. So, I mean, going over those range of outcomes, we could sit here and do this forever. Right. But massive amount of pressure to win 2022. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, and we know that the coaching staff, obviously, in some ways, certain individuals on the coaching staff have sort of, you know, overachieved with guys. Others, you could argue, obviously, the offensive production hasn't quite been there. But how does the coaching staff feel at the moment? And what will the coaching staff look like going forward?
Hasn't quite been there. That's nice. That's nice to say.
I'm trying, you know, best I can.
You're on the wrong podcast here, Jeremy. So you can't lose 95 games and bring your entire coaching staff back. Right. I don't like to fire people. That's not what I like to do. It's a public job. If you're not doing your job in public in any sport, it gets called out. NFL coaches, Major League Baseball managers, NBA coaches are regurgitated more than any. Maybe hockey is a little bit the same.
Oh man,
but, yeah. But in the NBA, it's like this guy's fired and this guy takes over this, and we all just talk about it and realize that these people don't have families. That's the hardest part of this. Is that like, oh, this guy should be fired or this woman should be fired, but yet they have families, and that's the position that I'm forced to tackle. So unfortunately, a lot of this staff has got to go. Yeah, I mean, that's just, I'm sorry. It's just like, I'm sorry, guys, but Mel Stottlemyre Jr., as of, I mean, I guess this week, I don't know if he's been renewed or not. I mean, I'm going to have to ask, but I don't believe he has yet. And I do believe that this is a two-way street. So, and I think that before he signed the contract, the two-year contract, it was a two-way street too. So they'll get that sorted out. I can't imagine the Marlins would let him go. I cannot imagine that. Like, I mean, does he get a blank check? No, I get it. He's a pitching coach, but he's like the one guy that you look at and say, look at Sandy Alcantara,
right,
and look at Pablo Lopez, and look at Trevor Rogers. Like if you let go of that, then you got much bigger issues. So I guess that will be worked out.
Sure.
Beyond that, I don't know. You want to make a case for anybody staying? I mean, I can't do it. Right. I mean, I really can't. I've said that the season is not Don Mattingly's fault, and I would, you know, I have zero issue with him being the manager at all. I know everyone hates him or whatever, but I mean, he was manager of the year last year. I mean, he's still a good manager to me. I do think that. And what's crazy is that I still obviously talk to a lot of people in the organization, and I still talk to a lot of players, and talk to a lot of players off the record. And they really like the staff that is there. They really do. That part of the staff, they really do. But as far as James Rousen, who I personally like a lot, and I think that we'll still get managerial offers, I'm gonna guess, in the offseason, and Eric Duncan, and and their base coaches, like, I mean, there's going to have to be changes. You can't lose this many. You can't lead the league in errors and pickoffs and come back and say, we're bringing everyone back for another ride. Like, what
it's
are you,
those
out of your
two
mind?
Specific stats, right? Those two right there just sum it up, to lead the league in errors and pickoffs. Like, I mean, that's it right there.
And so the plan is that, oh, it just was bad luck. Let's just bring the whole staff back again. Like, are you nuts? Like, there's no way that's going to happen. So, like, you're basically, your whole team's getting picked off the most in the National League in a decade. Whoever is responsible for that, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this, you did not do a good job this season. Whoever is responsible for making sure that the team does not commit errors, I'm sorry you failed in 2021. And if it cost you your job, I'm really sorry, but the stats are there to show you that. Like, if no one's listening to my podcast, and we're having five people listen, Craig Mish is responsible fully for my podcast sucking. I totally understand that. And maybe I should not be doing it. I totally agree. And the data would support that. The data supports the worst defensive team in Major League Baseball and the team that was picked off the most. So whoever is responsible for those things, and I'm not 100% sure, it's a collaborative effort. Yes. Okay. But someone is going to fall on the sword for this.
Right.
It's going to happen. And I'm sorry, but that's just the nature of the business, and that's what's going to happen. So I think some coaches will be gone. Yes, I think it has to be. It's just it's part of the story of 2021. Who and where will we be surprised? Maybe. I mean, maybe we will. Maybe we won't. We'll find out about that next week or the week after. But I would fully expect that. Again, you lose 95 games in a regular season, it would be disrespectful for the Marlins to bring them all back for next year to say, hey, it just wasn't their fault. It was all the players. No, it's just part of that is coaching. And specifically on any level, whether it's Little League or anything else, you cannot allow your team to be picked off that much. It can't all just be the players.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where obviously there will be change both on the field and within the coaching staff, and probably even within certain roles within the front office, I would have to imagine, when you assemble a team that looks the way that it does this season. You know, I was taking a look just at the stats, kind of going through and looking at everything, and Sandy, obviously 200 innings, he's got another start tonight to finish out the season. And then I was looking at the number of innings of pitchers after that, and you've got Trevor at 133, Pablo at 100, Zach Thompson at 73, and then five relievers before the next starter, who's Jesus Luzardo. Like, that just shows you the type of miracle working that Mel Stottlemyre was doing with the plug and play starters on the back end of this rotation. Like, to be able to piece things together at the beginning of the season when it was still going okay after Hernandez got hurt and everything there. It's just crazy the amount of guys they had to run out there. So,
that's an organizational thing, and that's a general manager thing too. That's on Kim Eng that happened all season long, and they were unprepared to deal with the injuries, but it's happening with every single team. I mean, Noah Syndergaard threw one inning, you know. I mean, Steven Strasburg, how many innings did that guy throw this year? How bad was Corbin, you know? Like, I mean, every team is dealing with it. But for me, all the things that you mentioned, I mean, it still goes back to the same thing. Sandy Alcantara is a much different pitcher than he was 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
It's not close. It is not. And so who is responsible for that? I would give that guy a raise. You're about to hand Sandy the $30 million, $40 million, I don't know what the number is, whatever you're going to hand him over. Like, you may want to take care of the guy that made that happen, because they're going to go into next season, no matter, I believe, you know, barring some stupidity, they're going to go into next season with as good a number one and number two starter in the National League as any team in Major League Baseball.
Correct.
I mean, that's really, I mean, yes, the Dodgers are awesome, and yes, the Brewers are as good with Woodruff and Burns. Yes, they are as good. But the Marlins 1-2 is going to be as good
as any
team in baseball. And it's just a crime that they went through this season wasting this. Like, I mean, it's crazy. You know why? Because there's no guarantee it's going to happen again. Right. This could completely go the other way next year. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, look at what they wasted last year. This happens in baseball. It's very unpredictable. So assuming that it is the same, it's not a fair assumption, but assuming that it is the same, you should probably take care of whoever it is, major league or minor league. I know Scott Aldridge's name is thrown out a lot for a lot of positivity on the minor league level too, so I should mention that. But whoever it is doing that job, you guys are doing a good job. So those are the guys that I would want to keep. And so, oh my gosh, can you imagine if the season ended and then we got the email like, Mel Stottlemyre Jr. and the team has decided to part ways or something like that? It would be
really bad.
It would be pretty catastrophic, I would think. So
it's sort of, I mean, when you talk about a pitcher like Sandy having so much success with that pitching coach, it's almost like if you were going to pay a quarterback 5 years, you know, the huge big extension, and then fire the offensive coordinator to go alongside with it. Like, it would make no sense. You know, so it's those two things can kind of go together and be there to support one another. Okay.
I'm not particularly worried about that, by the way, either. Right. I know I mentioned it the other day. It's not a concern for me. It's not like something where I'm saying, but it needs to be mentioned, because the staff, the staff is done after Sunday. Some are renewed and some are kept. And that's part of the equation. The other thing too, is that, with the pickoffs, and Keith Johnson's a first base coach, and, you know, he very well liked the AAA. He got his opportunity this year. They have to have a first base coach like 2 years in a row. I think he's the third different first base coach that they've had. And maybe somebody's listening to this going, oh, you're totally wrong, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I feel like continuity does matter a little bit. And if I'm not mistaken, they went from Trey Hillman to Billy Hatcher to Keith Johnson. And there may have been somebody before. Was there somebody before Trey Hillman who was the first? I don't even remember that. But that's three different coaches at first.
Perry Hill wasn't the first base coach, was he?
Who?
Perry Hill. He wasn't the first base coach ever, was he?
He was, but
it might have been longer ago.
But I don't recall. I mean, maybe Trey was. Gosh, bad research on my part to not know.
I could do the same thing. I'm sitting
that
here
when he came in. I knew they moved Trey to third base, and I think they're gonna probably have a new first base coach next year. But I mean, that's 4 years in a row of a different. And maybe that's just what happens in baseball. I don't know. It feels awkward to me that you have four different coaches in four different years doing the same thing. It tells me that there's some sort of lack of continuity. I don't know why Billy Hatcher wasn't renewed. I'm not sure, but they've got to get that fixed.
So as we do wrap up this podcast and we head toward the end of the season here, this final series, but also into the 2022 offseason. Are there, I mean, we've really gone through a lot here, but are there any sort of final sentiments you want to leave the Swings and Mishes listeners with as we do wrap up the regular season, and the next time we talk to them will be during the offseason?
Yeah, you know, I do, for the people who especially for the people who listen to this and who follow me, I am sorry that for those of you who are, you know, have had to listen to a lot of critical content and a lot of negativity from me, I am sorry for that. I know that a lot of people, you know, want positivity and they always want the silver linings and they want to know what's good. And I understand that. And there are a lot of people who, like Jeremy, are like that. And I would encourage you, you know, there are some positive things going on, no question.
Yeah.
But the one thing that always sticks out to me the most is that when Derek Jeter, when he took over the team and as CEO and part owner, and Bruce Sherman bought the team, you know, and they put a banner up, you know, in the clubhouse at one point. And even going back to the first day, like, there was always that sense of, and the word that they always used was accountability. And so for me, it's not my job. Like, I'm not getting paid, like, no one, you know, and for the Herald and for this, like, no one's paid and said, hey, Craig, here's what we want you to do. Your job is to hold them accountable. That's not my job. It's just what I'm doing. And I think that they asked from day one for accountability for the things that they did. Like, they just kept using that terms. Everyone needs to hold themselves accountable, you know, for everything that's being done. So who right now is holding them accountable for this disaster? Like, who is doing it? So I guess it's me. I don't know. Maybe internally they have people that are holding themselves accountable, but we are just, the media here is just so soft with this that, and everyone has sort of pivoted over to football. And look, the Hurricanes have been an unmitigated disaster, and the Dolphins have not gotten off to a good start. The Heat. So people move their, in the Panthers. So people move their interest, soccer, they move it over because they know the Marlins have punted on July 31st. They punted. So to me, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is because nobody else is. Nobody else cares or nobody else wants to do it. So that's, you know, that to me is, I leave with that as the most important thing. I leave with the highlight of the season, I would say. There was one highlight in particular for me that, above all, I know it ended in a negative, but at the time it was really important for me because I personally do some of my best work as a reporter and as a person in front of people. It's just who I am. I feel that's one of the strengths. And don't get me wrong, I'm a good texter and I'm fun, you know, with these guys. Like, look, how do you think I'm getting all the information I'm getting right now? A lot of it is calls and texts. Okay, it's clear. But I'm good in person. It's a strength of mine. I'm good in person. And the highlight of this season for me was being back on the field, was being back in front of some of these people. And the one particular highlight, more than anything else, was meeting face to face with Starling Marte and having him tell me that he wanted to stay in South Florida. To me, that was the moment where I felt like I was back at home again, where I accomplished something by speaking to someone in person and developing a, you know, relationship with someone. And it's so important to me to have that, which is why I have loved spring training so much, because it's where I've developed my best relationships with people and staff and executives and scouts. Because you've been away from the game for 5 months, Jeremy. Guess what happens? They all want to talk. They haven't talked about baseball for five months. Oh, here's Craig Mish. We hate him. This guy ripped us for 2 months, but he's here. Time heals all wounds. Yeah. Let me talk to this guy. Maybe if I talk to him, he'll say good things about me. Sure. Let's do that. So by the way, credit to the Marlins for letting me talk to Starling Marte. Yep. I don't get to talk to Starling Marte without the Marlins' participation in that event. This was not something that I did. This was something they helped me with. And they knew exactly which direction I was going. So credit to them. They could have hid this guy from me, for sure. Starling Marte tells me, I want to stay. And can I tell people? Absolutely. Go ahead. In English, by the way. Go ahead. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And by the way, Craig, If you know anyone that can help with this, tell them too. Tell them too. Really, Starling? You want me? Yeah. I mean, that was a real face-to-face personal conversation.
It's very cool.
The highlight of the season for me. Not because of wins and losses or this guy was great or that, but for me personally, being back and speaking to somebody face-to-face like the old days, and I know it's not how it's done anymore. It's all texting and calling. But I'm hoping that that comes back for me again, too, in the spring. Because it makes my job better. It makes what we do here more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally feel like it's a strength of mine that helps me do what I do. So I'll leave with that. That to me personally as a reporter and as doing what we do, unfortunately did not work out. And they did trade the player. But that was the highlight of the year for me, Jeremy. That was it.
Just getting back in front of people, honestly, even just getting to see our fellow media members in person again was really a pleasure as well. Like it was nice to see the people that we've grown so used to seeing on that daily grind of baseball. So
and also one other thing too is like you could surmise, well, why was that? Why that moment? I mean, you know, Craig, you broke with these trades and all these other things that are going on, like as a reporter, why that? Because that one was in person.
Yeah, it's face to face.
That was face to face.
Yep.
And to me, that was like, oh, okay. Like we're
a real
back.
Thing just happened. A real
yeah,
thing.
Like a real person to person. You know, I shook the man's hand and we talked and I reported.
Oh.
And that has been what I've done. I mean, I'm 48 years old.
For like so
that,
many
that,
years.
That's part of doing this. And the younger players now, it's all about texting and all the other stuff. And look, I'm the same way. I'm texting these guys and DMing and all that. Trust me, I'm doing all that too. But a very authentic moment for a great player that I really had not known all that well, that entrusted me to convey a message is part of reporting. And that I got back in 2021. And I hope to continue to do that in 2022.
And now we'll entrust you to try to recruit Starling Marte right back here to Miami. All right. No. So as we do wrap up this episode, I do want to say thank you to everyone who's listened to every episode of Swings and Misses this season. We know that the season has been a roller coaster, as has not only our podcast, but our podcast schedule. So we appreciate you guys sticking with us through all of that. As always, like, subscribe, rate, review. And as we head into this offseason, we can promise you, you will not find better offseason Marlins coverage than right here on Swings and Mishes. Follow Craig at Craig Mish. Follow me at Jeremy Taché. Have a wonderful final weekend of the regular season. And we will talk with y'all very soon.
Get on Team Shaq with WynnBET. We're playing parlays, boosting odds, and laying the wildest prop bets. Don't miss another game. Download the WynnBET sports betting app today.
Sign up today and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 first-time wager on a straight bet or parlay. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.